sometimes I hear the Bible reading and I think, how is anyone going to make a sermon out of that? This is going to be really boring. Well, I actually think this is quite a very interesting and very relevant passage, as of course all the Word of God is. But just the same, it's probably not a bad idea that we pray that God will help us pay attention to it. So let's pray. Our Lord God, our Father, we thank you for every word of Scripture. We pray that you would apply these words to our hearts in such a way that you change us and you draw us closer to you, make us more faithful to your word and more honouring to you in all we do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've probably all experienced those times when we've felt so burdened about something that we needed to say to someone that you've just got to sit down and blurt it out. Have you ever felt that way? You must, I'm sure. I think we all do. One of those things you just can't hold it in. Maybe it was a letter or an email or a difficult conversation or something like that. Am I supposed to be holding a microphone here? Are we okay with this? Good. Okay. Excellent. But something that you got worked up about and you just had to get it out of your system. And so, you know, one of those things you've just got to get off your chest. Well, I think Paul's letter to the Galatians is that kind of thing. As soon as Paul opens his mouth, or if you like, as soon as he puts pen to paper, there's this gush of words that just keeps on coming out. He doesn't overlook the opening pleasantries, the traditional opening to the letter, but he actually uses that traditional opening to fire his first shot at the Galatian churches. In the culture of Paul's day, a person writing a letter, they'd start first of all with their name. We usually traditionally sign off at the end with our name, which when you think about it, probably makes more sense to put it up at the beginning so the person knows who the letter is coming from. Well, that's what they did back in Paul's day. And then they would follow that with their office or their role, and then who they were writing to, and that would be followed by a blessing. So like in Paul's letter to the Philippians, he started off with Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, their role, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you. There comes the blessing from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul in his letter to the Philippians, it's the same, follows the same pattern. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, his role, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you. There's the blessing again. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses the same style of opening in his letter to the Galatians, but he doesn't even wait until he finishes those formalities before he fires his first shot at them. Paul, his name, an apostle, his office, his role, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. In other words, don't let anyone accuse me of teaching any message that is of human origin. My message, says Paul, comes directly from Jesus Christ and God the Father. And then he continues with the traditional opening to the churches in Galatia, and then the blessing, grace and peace for you, etc. Well, the sermon today is not an introduction to Paul's letter. That was last week. But in order to properly understand why Paul says what he's saying in chapter 1, verse 11 through to chapter 2, verse 10, you can't accuse me of preaching another gospel. We need to understand the context. I didn't hear the same sermon you heard last Sunday morning, but you would have heard Paul saying in chapter 1 of his letter, in verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. And in verse 8, he says, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. There were people in the Galatian churches who were corrupting the gospel of salvation by faith alone. They wanted to make Christians slaves of God's law. They wanted to deny people the freedom to follow Christ, which is, of course, the theme of this series of sermons that we're looking at the moment. Freedom to follow Christ, freedom to be like Christ. I can't remember the exact title, but you know it. They wanted to deny people that freedom. And Paul says that kind of teaching has to stop. No one is to teach anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ given to us by God himself. Not me, says Paul, not anyone. It applies to every teacher in the church, including Paul. And so that, of course, raises the question, well, what about Paul? Is Paul teaching the one true gospel? Or is he doing the very thing that he's accusing other people of doing? Is he teaching a different gospel? And that's what today's verses are about in 1:11 through to 2:10. And this isn't just an academic question about something that happened in the first century. There were people in the church who accused Paul of teaching a different gospel in his own day. And there are still people in the church today who accuse Paul of teaching a different gospel today, as we look at him today. There are people in the church in Australia who reject the teaching of Paul, which, as we know, amounts to a large proportion of the New Testament, because they believe that his teachings on some of the more controversial topics, like, say, perhaps homosexuality, are contrary to the teaching of the rest of the Bible. Or they believe his teaching about the role of women in the church is different from the rest of the Bible. And because they can't reconcile Paul's teaching with what they see the rest of the Bible teaching, or because they can't reconcile his teaching with what they believe to be right and just in their own thinking, they reject all or part of what Paul has to say. They basically edit it out of God's word. Now, even as I'm saying that, I remember having a conversation here sometime in the last few months with someone very much along these lines. There's more than one view amongst Christians on, say, for example, the role of women in the church or on homosexuality. And I have no doubt there are different views even in this church, even in this amongst you people sitting here this morning. And that's okay. That's okay. I have a gay son who is marrying his partner in October. And, my position and that of my wife, I actually follow what I understand to be Paul's teaching on that position. We have my son Stephen has a brother and two sisters, and we're all Christians, and we all have different views on how to respond to that situation. And I'm not here to persuade people in this church that my view is right and someone else's view is wrong. But however much we may struggle with anything that Paul says, and I do struggle with some of the things that Paul says, we all need to be really careful that we don't relegate the teachings of Paul to a lower level of scriptural inspiration, or to a level of not being scripture at all, because we find his views hard to accept. And why must we not do that? Well, because of what Paul says in this, in these verses that we're looking at this morning. Chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul says to the Galatians, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. That's Paul's claim. And he goes on to substantiate that claim. He says in verses 13 and 14 that he was at the top of his field in his study of traditional Judaism. He was strongly opposed to the Christian movement. In fact, he was even violently opposed to Christianity. And, he says, you've heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. By nature, he was opposed to the gospel. The gospel that he eventually came to preach was not his idea. It wasn't a seed of thought in his own mind that developed. It was very clear to Paul that God had set him aside for this gospel. And Paul tested this message that he'd been given. He tested it very carefully because he wanted to be really sure that it was not a different message from that which was being preached by the other apostles. He didn't want to be guilty of doing the same thing that he was accusing others in the Galatian churches of doing, preaching a different gospel. So Paul says in verse 16, when God revealed this gospel to me that he wanted me to preach, I kind of quarantined myself. That's what he's saying. He says, I didn't expose myself to any human teaching for the first 3 years. And then after 3 years, I introduced myself to Peter and James. So I went up to Jerusalem, I spoke to these guys, and they agreed that the gospel that I was preaching, they agreed with the gospel that I was preaching after those 3 years. And then I went back again 14 years later and I touched base with them again. And he says, I went in response to a revelation, he says in chapter 2 and verse 2. And I think he's saying I was being guided in my actions and in my teaching solely by God himself. And he laid it out before the apostles in Jerusalem, this gospel that he'd been preaching for the last 14 years, because he wanted to be sure that there was no conflict between what he was teaching and what they were teaching. In his words in chapter 2, verse 2, I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. In today's language, it's a bit like saying, I wanted to be sure that we were all on the same page with the gospel. And as it turned out, when he compared notes with the apostles in Jerusalem, after he'd been out there amongst the Gentiles preaching his message out there, when he compared notes with the apostles in Jerusalem, nothing that he was teaching conflicted with what they were teaching. Even though they had never collaborated or even spoken to one another about the message they were teaching. Paul and the others had all independently received the same revelation from God. They were all preaching exactly the same gospel, even though they hadn't discussed it together. Because they had all received it from the same God. So it had to be the same message. Paul says, for example, he just gives one example, I didn't believe it was necessary to circumcise Titus, as some of the Jewish Christian Judaizers were pushing for. And the apostles in Jerusalem, Peter and James and John, they also didn't believe it was necessary to circumcise Titus. They were all on the same page. Paul goes on to say in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, God does not show favouritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognised that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the circumcised, to the uncircumcised, to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, the Jews. They had all been preaching exactly the same message, independently, without consulting one another. They added nothing to my message, Paul says. Then in verses 8 to 10, he states the conclusion that he came to. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas and John, those esteemed as pillars in Jerusalem, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognised the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing we had been eager to do all along. They agreed on everything. There is only one gospel. It's the same gospel that was preached by Peter and James and John and Paul and all of the apostles. There's not a more pure, more inspired gospel and a less pure, less inspired gospel that was preached by Paul. There's not a two-tiered kind of gospel, which some people tend to promote today as a way of avoiding some of the things that they don't like or don't understand or can't accept that Paul teaches. All scripture is equally inspired by God, equally authoritative, equally binding on us all. Even Peter himself says of Paul's writings in his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, Peter says, "Our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand." I think perhaps we could read that as hard to accept, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Now, Peter says two really important things here about Paul's writings in the scriptures. Firstly, he says, he writes with the wisdom that God gave him. And secondly, he describes Paul's writings as scripture. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, and yes, we agree with that, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures. Paul's writings are scriptures, just like the other scriptures are scriptures. So do you find some of Paul's writings hard to understand, hard to accept? Or perhaps your understanding of them causes you to find them hard to accept? Does Paul sometimes seem to be saying something that doesn't reflect 21st century Western moral values on, say, homosexuality or the role of women in the church or submission of wives to their husbands? That is just not cool in 21st century Western society. Well, Paul does say those things, and some find those things hard to accept. And Peter says, well, that's actually to be expected. Well, he says hard to understand. I think we can read that also as meaning hard to accept. But does that mean that we should throw out Paul's writings? Well, no. Does it mean we downgrade Paul's writings to a less authoritative level of inspiration? No. we use our best hermeneutical and analytical skills to try to understand what Paul is saying. And sometimes Christians come to different interpretations of what the scriptures mean. And that's okay. Often those differences have no impact. In fact, all of the critical ones have no impact on the meaning of the gospel of salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. There are matters of gospel principles on which we must never budge. The Trinitarian God, the physical death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, salvation by faith solely through the atoning work of Christ on our behalf. They are not negotiable. But there are other things on which Christians must agree to graciously differ. Because on some things, the scriptures, including the writings of Paul, are hard to understand. And so because they're hard to understand, different people fall into different schools of thought on what Paul is saying there. And we have to accept that other Christians come up with other interpretations that are different from our own. But we must never, never start editing out parts of Scripture or downgrading parts of Scripture to a lower level of inspiration or authority because we don't like what they say. Once we start doing that, we're on a very slippery slope that some have followed to spiritual disaster, where they take upon themselves the authority to determine which parts of the Bible are the Word of God and which parts are not. And they finish up with a Bible and a God who says only what they want to hear. We may not like everything we hear in the Bible, but once we start pulling out those bits that we don't particularly like and don't suit us, we're in a very dangerous situation. As I've already quoted Peter as saying, 2 Peter 3:16, Paul's letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Did Paul preach a different gospel? No. God has spoken the same message at different times, in different contexts, through different authors, and so there are apparent differences because they are applied by different authors, different human authors, with the same divine author behind them. They are applied to different circumstances, different situations, different cultures, but the same message never changes. It's always the same message. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray. Our Lord God, our Father, help us to clearly understand your word, especially those difficult parts, and help us to be gracious, we pray, to those who have a different understanding to our own. We know that none of us is perfect. Help us to acknowledge that and to love one another, especially in the cases where there are differences. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.